Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Vada's War by Elizabeth Moon. Book 2. Mark and Reprisal, Part 2. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Christopher Sheeran, Colleen Delaney, Andy Clements, Stephen Carpenter, Barbara Pinolini, Tim Carlin, Christopher Graybill, Joe Brack, James Lewis, Danny Gavigan, Ken Jackson, Michael Glenn, Terrence Aselford, David Coyne, Casey Platt, Dylan Lynch, Yasmin Twazan, and Richard Rowan.
Kailara Vada stared at the three apparent tourists who had tripped the perimeter alarms that had been set up around the dockside access by her security chief, Gordon Martin. No longer would Kai hire outside security personnel, even from the most reputable company, here at Lastway or anywhere. The last one she'd used had tried to kill her. The crew of the Gary Tobai now wore basic torso protection if they were outside the ship for any reason. Kai didn't want anyone catching any stray projectiles meant for her. Now, three strangers, a man, a woman, and a skinny teenaged boy, stood in a silent row, with Martin and Bea Chalk looming over them. The attractive but faded blonde in the taupe suit smiled at her.
Hello, Kai. I'm your cousin Stella. Remember me?
Stella? Here?
Kai struggled to remember how old Stella's child might be. Stella did look older and plainer than she remembered. That Stella had a man, she could believe. He was medium tall, handsome as a vidstar in spite of his graying hair, and very aware of it.
What are you doing here?
Running away. Or running to you, depending on how you look at it. How much do you know?
Vada's been attacked. I don't know how bad it is.
Not a very big ship, is it?
Big enough.
Have there been any attacks on you?
A few. Unsuccessful, obviously.
Oh, my heavens. She's a total innocent. What are you thinking, Stella? She can't possibly...
I don't know what you think is innocent. I've killed...
Kai was appalled that she had to stop and count.
Four men!
We heard about one at Sabine. You did it yourself? Really?
Yes. And it was two there.
My, aren't we the rough girl?
The man turned again to Stella.
So she can kill. But can she...
Stop it.
To Kai's surprise, the man stopped, arching a brow at Stella, who turned to Kai.
Kai, this is Rafe. We're partners for the present. He's under partner bond. He has many... talents.
That's nice.
And this is Toby Vada. He survived the blowout on Alray 2. Have you heard about that? And he's also a partner for the present.
Kai looked at Toby and had an immediate flashback to her own apprentice voyage. She'd thought having Captain Furman on her tail was bad, but she hadn't been through what he had.
Welcome aboard, Toby. I'm sorry for your loss. I assume Rafe has a last name, Stella?
Yes, which we will give you when we come aboard, not standing here on a cold dockside. Kai, we had trouble on Alray. Serious trouble.
I can imagine. We've had some, too. Come on aboard, then.
Kai stepped aside and let them pass. Stella gave her a look she could not interpret, and Rafe, a look she could interpret all too well. If he thought she was like Stella, he would soon learn different, and he could keep those eyes to himself. She nodded at Martin when they had cleared the locks.
Come on, Martin. If anyone comes looking for cargo, let Aline handle it. It's close of trade anyway.
Yes, Captain.
The others had stopped in the wreck area. Kai nodded to a table.
Have a seat. Let's find out what's up.
It's a long story.
It's a long shift. Go ahead.
You know about the attacks back home on Slaughter Key?
Some, not much. They hit corporate headquarters and the family compound both, one report said. I expect there were injuries. And for some reason, the government is down on us.
Kai, I'm sorry. I have bad news for you. Your parents... Your mother died in the attack on the house. Your father died of injuries received trying to save her and others.
Kai felt her face stiffen. Now that tiny sliver of light, that window of hope, slammed shut. She had been so sure. She had hoped so much that they had not died, or at least one of them survived. She thought she'd anticipated this, but it was too much.
And your brother San. I'm sorry, Kai. My father was killed, too, in the bombing of corporate headquarters. My sister Jo died in a separate attack.
Kai felt each name as a separate weight falling on her, pushing her deeper into darkness. Her father, her mother, her brother, her uncle.
Aunt Helen?
Mother was alive when I left Slaughter Key. So was Aunt Gracie Lane.
Gracie Lane and her fruitcakes with diamonds were a poor substitute for the rest of the family. The memory of her father's face in that last call, the look in his eyes, came to her vividly. She squeezed her eyes shut, trying not to think, not to see.
Aunt Gracie sent me to find you.
Surprise almost melted the numbness. Kai opened her eyes.
To find me? She thinks I'm an idiot.
She thinks everyone our age is an idiot. But she thinks you're the one person who can sort this out, and she thinks I'm capable of helping you. She knew you needed more data and some help.
Aunt Gracie is...
pretty smart, actually. Did you know she'd been in the war?
Aunt Gracie?
Yes. I didn't know either until she told me. And showed me. At any rate, she told me to come find you and bring you the Vada Command database to download into your implant.
Kai's hand went to her head.
I don't have an implant. It was destroyed.
But I know your father sent you another one.
I haven't put it in. I'm not supposed to put one in for 6 months.
Counting up the weeks in transit to Belinta, from Belinta to here, it was a lot closer to 6 months than Kai had thought.
Brain damage?
Possible neural instability. And how did you get hold of the command database? I mean, if our fathers were killed in the attacks...
Stella looked away.
Well, your father lived a few days, Kai. And Aunt Gracie took charge of the implant.
Kai stared at her. Her stomach roiled. She did not want to consider what that meant, or how it had been done.
At any rate, if you're going to take over as the off-planet Vada representative, you'd better find a way to use the implant information.
Well, you could.
No. You have military training, Kai. I don't. My expertise is all in another direction.
And that is?
If you access the database, you'll know. I'm not sure I should tell you here.
Stella glanced aside at Rafe and Toby. Kai felt a cold prickle run up her spine.
As if you hadn't learned half or more of it from me. But I suppose we must protect innocent young ears.
Toby turned to glare at him. Kai felt the same way, but didn't let herself show it.
Later, then. If I'm the designated whatever, though, I'll need to know.
Understood.
The others could be another distraction. Kai turned to the boy.
Toby, how far along in your apprenticeship were you? What kind of ship duties did you learn?
The boy flushed, but met her eyes.
I was over half through, and had completed the training modules and all the specialties, so I was working full shifts under supervision. I'd done environmental and engineering, and was working on navigation and piloting. In port, of course, we all worked cargo.
Excellent. I know you don't have any of your scores, and unfortunately I need documentation of your training, but we have new crew who are working on their certification exams. Lastway has a complete roster of spacer certification courses, and the sooner you begin, the better. What's your strongest field?
Probably drives, ma'am. I did well in all the engineering subspecialties, but Piers, Chief Barklin said I had a good feel for space drives.
Good. I could definitely use a good backup drive specialist. I'm going to assign you to that area. You'll be informally assessed and then start formal classes in a couple of days. That suit?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know when we can get you back to a place where you can have regular formal schooling. What were you planning on, or had you decided?
I was supposed to go to Turquois, the main engineering prep school on my home planet, ma'am. And then I hoped to get to DeVisi Tech for advanced work, and then back to the fleet.
Huh. Well, I'll download additional coursework for you for when we're en route. No sense in having you lose more educational time than necessary.
Kai turned to Rafe, who was watching this with a condescending expression.
Now, you, sir. Your last name, if I may be so bold.
He leaned forward, meeting her eye, and putting on what Kai assessed as a pseudo-honest expression.
Of course, Captain. Though you may as well know that I have several last names, by which I'm known on different worlds. I was born with Dunbarger, but haven't used it for years. Stella first met me as Raphael Stoner Modestin.
Dunbarger?
I said I haven't used it for a long time. It's not euphonious. It is, however, my birth name, if anyone were to track it down.
Dunbarger?
Yes, that Dunbarger. The one you're so obviously trying to remember. ISC senior officer, very senior at the moment.
Into Kai's mind popped the memory of ISC's command structure. Dunbarger stood right at the top.
You might consider me a remittance man, if you know what that is.
You're Garston Dunbarger's son? You?
I had to learn company manners somewhere. The knowledge of which fork to use and how to tie a cravat is easiest learned in the kind of home my parents kept.
Very interesting, if true.
Oh, it's true. I can even prove it. Though I prefer not to call down the kind of trouble that would bring on last way. At any rate, I was sent away, for cause, I might add, no bad feelings on my side, and strongly encouraged to choose another name, or 50. And later, here's another new tidbit for you, Stella. Later, I was hired back, as it were, after a bit of good behavior, which somewhat softened my father's attitude.
Hired back how?
Rafe's gaze dropped to his fingernails, which he appeared to study with great interest.
There are things that a supposedly disaffected, disinherited former member of a powerful family can find out, can elicit, that almost no one else can. If you know where both ends of the string are, as it were, untangling the mess someone's made of it is far easier. By birth, I know one end. By experience, I discover the other.
You're a company spy.
That's a bald word for a very fluffy concept. Let's just say that I've been put in the way of finding out things ISC needs to know and have been well paid to transfer that knowledge to ISC. I'm still not welcome at home, but relations are, as it were, softening with time. None of my sisters has produced an heir, and father would like a grandchild. Well, actually, it's mother who wants one worst, I suspect, but father's putty in her hands.
You contemptible toad!
Now, Stella, sweetling, no need to blow it yet.
Don't sweetling me, you... Kai, this miserable excuse spent 2 whole days lecturing me on the evils of my past, my luxurious and pampered past, convincing me that I was to blame for the inequalities of the universe because I'd never questioned where Vada money came from, and all that time...
How do you suppose I knew what leverage would work, my dear? It takes one to know one. I knew what would sting me, and thus that it would sting you. And besides, you're so sweet when you feel guilty, as opposed to the way you are when you don't. And don't say you'll hate me forever because you know you won't.
Toby, Kai noticed, was watching this with wide eyes.
I still don't have a last name. Not the one on your current ID, at least.
Oh, yes.
For an instant, a patch of color appeared on his cheeks. He fished out the ID packet and handed it over.
It's fake, of course, and only of moderate quality. I had it done in a rush before we left, to throw off pursuit, we hoped. Stella's is fake, too, at the moment. It seems to have worked.
Ralph San Volen.
I was using Murchison back on Allray and running a shop selling antiquities and books.
And other things.
And other things as necessary to keep my lines of contact open with the kinds of people ordinary ISC personnel cannot know.
Rafe glanced at Stella and then back to Kai.
You must realize that those people do not trust straight arrows.
I know that.
Good. Because if I'm to be any use to you, I need to establish my lines of communication here.
Kai ignored the presumption in that for the moment. She wasn't sure she wanted him to try to be of use to her.
You've been here before?
Oh, yes. Some years back.
Just as a matter of curiosity, when does your partnership contract with Stella and Toby expire?
Not too long now, I think.
I suspect you know to the minute, Rafe. Let's not play games.
But games are such fun. All right. In about 23 hours. Why? You gonna ask me to extend?
I'm thinking about it. It seems to me that Vada and ISC interests run together lately.
They may at that. But my interests intersect ISC's only in particular areas. Perhaps we should both think about it.
And discuss it in, say, 4 hours?
As the captain wishes.
Whoever he really was, someone had taught him manners, and more than one kind. Kai looked again at his gray hair.
How old are you, really?
You want all my realities revealed? Very well.
He scrubbed at his face with his hands. When he brought them down, a much younger man grinned at her, his face subtly reshaped, his eyes sparkling with mischief.
The hair's not this gray or this thin, either. But I'd prefer to deal with that in a proper bathroom. If this ship has a proper bathroom. I'm only a year older than Stella in true biological time, but I'm much, much older in experience.
Kai caught a movement of Stella's hands and glanced over to find the perfect cheekbones restored to the breathtaking beauty she remembered. Stella opened her hand.
Cheek pads. And my hair's not really this color. Rafe's got black hair, if you want to know.
Kai looked at Toby.
Rafe wouldn't let me. He says as fast as I'm growing, I'm not the same 2 days in a row anyway.
That's a relief. Wait here while I get Toby settled and see about finding you berths. I presume you'd rather stay aboard than on station?
I would.
Even though Avada's ship was blown up in dock at Alray?
Even though.
I will do as the captain prefers.
Rafe tilted his head at Kai, leaving, for now, hanging between them, unsaid.
Fine then. I'll be back shortly. Come on, Toby.
Toby followed her out of the wreck area. Martin trailed along.
I need to get back dockside, Captain, if that's all right.
That's fine, Martin. Go ahead.
Martin nodded and turned away. Kai walked on, wondering what she could say to comfort a boy who had lost his family and shipmates. Damned little comfort in the universe, but that wasn't what he needed to hear. On the other hand, maybe he didn't need comfort as much as something to do.
Stella says you're also in this partnership.
Yes, ma'am. Captain.
What do you think of Rafe?
Me? I'm just
old enough to be a partner, Toby. That's old enough to assess the character of a partner by law. What do you think of him?
I don't exactly know. He knows a lot of things I think are probably bad things, but he's been a good partner so far.
Does Stella trust him?
In partnership, yes, but not before. She had me hold a weapon on him before we formed the partnership, when she was showing him what she carried.
Kai turned and looked at him.
Trusts you, doesn't she? Could you have shot him?
I think so.
He looked tense and worried. Which was, Kai thought, exactly how he should look when he contemplated the possibility of killing someone.
Good. We'll try to keep you out of such situations in the future, but just in case, I'm glad to know you're that reliable.
She led him on into engineering, where Quincy was leaning over Jim at one of the workspaces. Puddles, the puppy Jim had rescued from a trash bin in the station, lay at his feet, chewing vigorously on his leash. Quincy looked up.
Who's this, then?
Toby Vada, survivor of the attack on Ellis Fabry at Alray. News was wrong. They weren't all killed.
How'd he...
My cousin Stella brought him.
Kai cut off further questions with a warning glance.
Toby, this is Quincy Robin, one of the most senior engineers in Vada, and from this point on, your tutor. Quince, Toby was more than halfway through his apprentice voyage, and he says his instructors thought he had an aptitude for drives. Since I have no idea when we can get him home, we need to set up a complete educational course for him, find him bunk space, and get him fitted out with whatever he needs. Can you see to that? Order in whatever you need. I have some other urgent business.
Of course. Toby, is it? You're in a growing stage, aren't you? I recognize the signs.
Is that a dog?
It's a nuisance. Jim's idea.
It's a puppy. Do you know anything about dogs?
I had a dog back home, before I left for ship duty. She was a maze hound. She didn't look anything like that, even when she was born.
Kai had no idea what a maze hound was, but for the first time thought there might be a purpose in having a puppy aboard.
This one's supposed to be a Jack Russell Terrier, whatever that is. His name's Puddles.
We'll need to stock extra rations, Captain. Boys this age eat like a regiment.
Quincy seemed to glow with a sudden burst of grandmotherliness, which was just what the boy needed, Kai felt sure.
I'll put it on the list. Jim, come along with me.
Jim's face took on a worried expression, but he got up quickly and followed her back to the rec room.
Toby's getting settled. This is Jim, one of my crew, late of Belinta.
Belinta?
What's wrong with Belinta?
You wanted to leave. Don't tease him, Rafe.
Happens to everyone, one time or another. And you got out of Belinta. So what else are you bringing to the party?
It's not a party. I need to talk to my cousin alone, and I don't want you wandering the ship by yourself. Jim, you'll stay with Rafe until I come back. And I mean stay with, not just in the same half of the ship.
Jim looked at Rafe with sudden suspicion.
Oh.
I am so misunderstood.
Kai tried not to grin. It would not do to let this rascal know he was amusing her.
The misunderstanding, if any, is mutual.
Is it? Perhaps it is, Captain Vada. I will be good.
Excellent. Jim will show you around. If you decide to ship out with us, you'll know what you're getting into. Now, you'll excuse us. Stella, come with me, please.
With a final nod, Kai left them, and Stella trailed after her. In her own cabin, she gestured at Stella to the bunk and sat at the desk herself.
You've changed.
The last time we met, I was, what, 17?
There's that. But I was worried for you when I heard about that mess at the academy. You had always been such a straight arrow.
I've wanted to thank you for your note. It did help, especially since I'd just had a stinker of a letter from Hal, from a man I'd known there.
Men. And while we're on that subject, a word of warning about Rafe.
You think I need one?
Every woman needs one with him. I'm sure you feel the magnetism. I certainly do. But he's not a safe ride.
I could tell. But let's get to business, Stella. You say Auntie Grace sent you...
Stella sat up straighter.
Yes. Your father tried to call a meeting of the adult Vadas on Slaughter Key after he was hurt, but he collapsed and Auntie Grace took over. It surprised everyone when she picked me to be her messenger. She knew, well, she'd kind of pushed me into it, that I acted sometimes as a special courier for Vada. You didn't know that, I think.
No, I thought...
You thought I was flighty Stella, still in disgrace. So did a lot of people, which made my other role more effective. When I traveled, people assumed it was just that idiot Stella wandering around being a tourist.
Stella cocked her head to one side, and her expression shifted. She looked the picture of an inexperienced pretty girl.
Hmm.
Stella lost the innocent waif look, and Kai admired the technique. She didn't seem to move, and yet she changed.
My father knew, of course. Your father didn't. That made it awkward sometimes.
I can imagine.
Her own father bragging about his practical, sensible, obedient daughter, while her uncle had to pretend that Stella was still a bubblehead.
Anyway, Auntie Grace downloaded the Vada command data set to her own implant. She doesn't think any of the surviving Vadas off-planet have it, and she wanted you to have it because of your military training. Kai, how bad was your head injury? If you're going to be in command out here, we need to know if you're capable.
I'm capable. Stella, the things that I've done after that indicate that I'm functioning just fine. It was bad. They had to do a memory dump off my implant.
A memory dump? Who did that?
Mackenzie, a mercenary company. Quite respectable. They're in the Green Book. Vada's transported them or their cargo more than once. It was an accident, really.
Quickly, Kai gave Stella the bare-bones account of the incident.
And then I woke up in their sick bay, and all the interesting stuff happened later. So if I could cope with mutinous prisoners and an uncontrollable ship and near starvation, I think that means my brain is working, right?
Right. I don't quite understand why you can't install another implant, though.
Their surgeon said I should wait 6 months to be sure the memory dump and the structural repairs were consolidated and stable. I don't know the details, but I'd had those years of training without an implant at the academy, aimed at preparing for just such an emergency. It doesn't bother me to be without one.
I don't know if the Vada situation can wait another, what is it, 3 months more?
Well, less than that by now, I think. But I don't see why that matters. Unless the command data set explains who our enemy is and what's going on. And if it does, our fathers would have been prepared. I don't need an implant to fight a war.
A war. That's what Aunt Gracie said. It's war now, she said, and we need someone with military training to take over. Meaning you. I still think you need an implant. Oh, wait a minute. You already thought of it as a war? And yourself is fighting it? Without any resources but what you have here?
Not many options, are there? What was I going to do, run away and hide somewhere? I was sure other Vadas had survived somewhere. We'd need to get together somehow.
I suppose. I just didn't expect you to have worked all that out. Well then, General, or Admiral, or whatever you are, what do we do now?
Kai was ready for this one.
I find out what you've brought besides the data set, and I see if the data set can be accessed without an implant. I doubt it has anything really useful to me at this point, but it might. I find out what Rafe's up to, because I'm sure it's more than he said, and decide whether to take him with us, let him go, or kill him.
You'd kill Rafe?
Kai enjoyed the shock on Stella's face.
If I judged him a danger to the family, of course. It is a war, Stella. We're already in trouble, already losing, if you look at the numbers. We can't afford to let anyone, however charming, cause us more damage.
Now that's sensible.
Rafe was at the cabin door, with Jim behind him, looking worried.
Captain, you were right. I did underestimate you.
And I clearly underestimated you, thinking that Jim could keep you away from my cabin.
Kai kicked herself mentally for not having closed and locked it. Rafe gave them both a smile of blinding goodwill.
We were on our way to the bridge. I merely overheard one sentence of extremely good sense, nothing more, I assure you. Stella, you are a genius in your own way, but your cousin Kai has won my fickle heart.
The reverse, however, is not true.
Of course. I would not expect it. I look forward, Captain, to our discussion of partnerships when the time comes.
Rafe turned to Jim.
The bridge, perhaps? And perhaps we should close the hatch to allow the Captain more privacy?
Thank you.
On the bridge, he would find Lee less malleable than Jim. When they were alone again, Kai turned back to Stella.
So tell me about Rafe, everything you know.
Everything I thought I knew. I certainly did not know he was Dunbarger's son. If he is, though that explains a lot. It was after that disastrous mess with Jamar, the one I gave the codes to. I'd been stuck at home for months, of course, lectured at by everyone over the age of 10. Stupid Stella, idiot Stella, how could you, Stella? Didn't we tell you, Stella? And so on and so on. Of course, I was telling myself the same thing. Then Aunt Gracie showed up, shooed everyone away, told me to quit moping and get a hold on myself, and sent me to an old friend of hers over on Kasagar. Find out what you're good at, Gracie said, because you are a Vada. And therefore, you have talents besides looking pretty and attracting bad men.
Sounds like Aunt Gracie.
Yeah, well, her old friend Halma turned out to be a fellow veteran. That's when I found out about Aunt Gracie's own checkered past. I got a fast course in courier protocols, and she sent me off to another friend halfway around the planet. Apparently I did all right, because that one sent me back with a good report. I thought it was all great fun. You had to follow the rules to the letter, of course, but it was the kind of challenge I like, blending in and being someone else, or at least being the foolish, stupid Stella on the outside while being a competent Stella on the inside, if you can follow that.
Yes, I can.
Well, I was on another job for Aunt Gracie's old friend at an embassy party on Kasagar when I met Rafe. He recognized that I was trolling for information just as I recognized he was the same, and he called me on it. I didn't know what to do. It was my first political assignment. So I fell back on girlish giggles and sex appeal, and he wasn't having it. I'm still not sure exactly how it happened, but the next thing I knew, he was teaching me to use his pick locks, which is a very useful skill, and I still use the set he gave me. And not too long after that, I realized he was the sexiest man I'd ever met. Jamar wasn't within 6 orders of magnitude.
Stella grinned and shook her head. Kai thought of Hal, but shied away from that memory.
Also the most dangerous. Also someone with contacts I'd never even imagined existed. He seemed to have a finger in every clandestine organization on Kasagar. His story then was that he'd worked his way up from a state orphanage to a private investigator's license, learning formal etiquette from training tapes. But we both understood that considerable dubious actions were involved. We worked together briefly, then I went back home to Slaughter Key to be debriefed by Aunt Gracie, after which she and my father employed my skills at intervals.
I see. So, do you consider Rafe trustworthy?
Before the latest revelations, I would have said that Rafe stays bought if you pay his asking price and that he's reliable in partnership agreements. After all, I turned my back on him this time. But I'm not sure now. If he's really Dunbarger's son and really a permanent ISC agent, then he'll be with us, or anyone he contracts with, only so long as it doesn't cross ISC.
I'm not planning to cross ISC. And they should be pleased with me after the Sabine thing. So with those circumstances, what about partnering or hiring Rafe? And which would be better?
Partnering. And yes, I think he'd be a good asset, though I'm still peeved that he never told me. But what use am I, Kai? What can you do with me?
I don't know yet. We may have use for an agent of our own when we come to some place where you aren't known and won't be an instant assassin magnet. Meantime, you were home more than I was the last few years. You may know a lot about recent developments in the company that I didn't know.
And I can scramble eggs. I'm not trained for ship's crew, but some of my skills will transfer.
Well, that's good. Besides, your family. And there's little enough left.
That black weight bore down on her shoulders again. Kai struggled not to break down.
True. There's not been time to grieve, really. It all happened so fast. Though at least I had the time on the courier to myself. It must be worse for you, being out of touch when it happened.
I don't know. It still seems unreal. They've always been there. Parents, aunts, uncles, corporate headquarters, the house. I can almost pretend they're still there, but you can't.
Reality bites. Well, you've got Toby settled. That's a good thing.
Unless someone blows this ship. I do think about that. We should find him a safer place. He's our future. Stella, does Aunt Grace have any idea why the government turned on us?
She wasn't sure if someone had outbid us or scared them silly. When I left, she was planning to find out and see if she could correct their thinking, as she put it. I would not like to be the president with Aunt Grace after him.
Stella drew her finger across her throat. Kai debated for a moment and took the plunge.
Stella, there's a very odd thing. Before this happened, someone had sent me a message here to be held for my arrival. I have a letter of marque from Slaughter Key.
But nobody does that anymore.
That's what I thought. But they do, and I have one. Here.
Kai handed Stella the padded folder.
This is incredible. When did you get it? You're sure it's official?
It came via someone I knew at the academy. I'm sure of the provenance, but I'm not sure it's still valid.
Kai took the folder when Stella had finished reading and put it away.
Still, it gives me justifications other than family to go after whoever's doing this.
I never knew Slaughter Key ran privateers. I thought I knew a lot about local politics. How did they keep this secret, I wonder?
I heard rumors. I just thought it was vicious slander, but clearly it wasn't.
Privateer. Valid or not, with the Slaughter Key ansibles down, who's to know?
Not Rafe. I'm not ready to tell him all my secrets. Besides, can you really see this ship attacking and capturing anything? Thing is, even if I were a military genius, I can't see how to fight a war with one old tub like this one. She's slow, she's vulnerable, and she has no teeth.
Would money help? I've got some in the usual hard goods from Aunt Gracie. And my own resources.
Money always helps. Enough to buy a real warship would certainly help, but I doubt you've brought that much. Upgrading this one, we can get as far as armed merchant vessel, which everyone will assume means pirate, but that's about it. She'd need a new in-system drive, some decent shielding, and at least two decent weapons systems. It'd cut our cargo capacity 30%. And it isn't that big already.
You've already thought about it.
Of course. I haven't been twiddling my thumbs. I've thought of several things. Running her as a cargo ship under Vada colors, likely to get us attacked and blown up entirely too soon. Running her as a cargo ship under other colors, my own for one, and hoping nobody figures out she's really Vada. That would require a new ship chip of clandestine origin and time to build up a clientele. The kinds of cargoes you can get in an uninsured, unknown ship are, as you know, minimal. Running her as an armed merchanter, trying to combine light cargo, probably clandestine, with covert attacks on the guilty parties if we ever figure out who they are. That is dangerous and unlikely to make the kind of profits that will keep us going, unless we take on seriously bad cargo.
Seriously bad cargo may lead us to our enemies.
Yes, it could. Either usefully or right into their trap. You surely know that Vada corporate accounts are frozen, credit unobtainable right along with insurance for either ship or cargo.
I didn't realize accounts would all be frozen. I was able to access funds on Alray.
They're frozen here, and other places I've heard of. I've sold off the cargo we came in with, and I have a few goodies that Aunt Gracie stuffed into a fruitcake for me, but not enough to buy a new ship or convert this one to armed merchanter.
I'll add mine to the pile and see what it comes to.
What interests me is that you and Rafe seem to have been doing the same thing for different employers. You really didn't know he was ISC?
No. I can't believe he never told me. And where he came up with that sob story from...
Doesn't matter. How reliable do you think he is, really? How much of that attitude is surface?
I would trust him to be who he is, but I'm not sure any longer who that is. Stick to the terms of a partnership, yes. Actually care about anyone? I'm not sure.
We've got a tough task ahead, Stella. We can use all the allies we can find, but we need them to be allies. Or at least acting from enlightened self-interest.
He's smart. I would say his self-interest is paramount, but intelligently adapted to circumstances. Reliable within limits. Within those limits? Absolutely.
What do you know about his expertise?
What you'd expect from someone involved in corporate espionage. There's not a lock, physical or electronic, that he can't open. Few, if any, databases that are secure if you turn him loose for an hour. And he has a remarkable collection of contacts in multiple systems. If he's telling the truth about being Dunbarger's son, then I suspect his actual illicit earnings are much lower than he's claimed. The opposite of crooks. He's hiding his legitimate income.
Anything more I should know?
That personality. I'm sure you've noticed. He's used to having women fall at his feet.
I won't.
He hasn't really turned on the charm yet. Don't believe it when he does.
Did you?
Ouch. Yes, off and on. He still has an effect on me, and I've seen him with others.
I wouldn't worry. Except that from everything you say, Jim and Lee both won't be able to keep him from snooping all over the ship. It will take Martin.
Tell me about Martin. He scared me.
Ex-military. He was at the legation on Belinta. And he's got supply experience, so he took on managing cargo in place of Gary.
Impressive. You find him comfortable, I expect, because of your time in the academy. Are you going to offer Rafe a partnership?
I'm thinking about it. Reservations?
No. Not if you're careful with the terms. Want advice?
I asked, didn't I?
Then let me review the terms before you offer. Or I can do a draft for you.
Do that, Stella. Use my desk if you like.
And figure out how to get that implant in and functioning. You're gonna need it.
On the bridge, Lee had a dazed expression and Jim was scowling. Rafe, in Kai's seat, lounged as if he owned the ship.
Excuse me, that's my seat.
Sorry. Where do you want me?
Under control. But that wasn't something she could say.
There's a fold-down seat over there. Lee, anybody off ship?
No.
Good. Nobody goes off until trade shift tomorrow. Division reports?
At your station, Captain. Nothing much. We're down to the dregs for trade, though. Milmart's holding that advanced suite for us, but they'll require a deposit to hold it past the end of trade shift tomorrow.
By then, I'll have an answer for them.
Kai looked at the division reports. Quincy's had the most data. She had listed all the suitable ships for sale or lease, with costs, including provisioning.
Who's doing your dockside security?
We are, remotely.
What system? I'm not just being nosy. I'm remembering that a Vada ship in dock at Alray was blown.
You know how it was done?
No. Outsiders is what I heard, but I'm not entirely sure. It's one reason I wanted to leave. But remote systems can be confused.
Co-opted, you mean? We have mill-grade systems installed by my own crew as of 2 days ago. Does that satisfy you?
Almost. Perimeter design?
Adequate, according to what I was taught. Do you have suggestions, Sir Dunbarger?
Rafe shot a sidelong look at Lee, who looked studiously blank.
Please don't use that name. Not even here. I'm sure your crew are all perfectly loyal, but it would be a great embarrassment to me. Besides, it's not euphonious.
Vata is not exactly music of the spheres.
It has a certain earthy rhythmicity. Dunbarger, on the other hand, sounds like something you'd remove during plastic surgery. Call me by the name Stellanos, or Murchison, which I used last. Or you could just call me Rafe.
And you could just answer my question. Have you suggestions for perimeter design?
3 independent systems. Optical spider hooks set at 1 meter intervals, each system capable of alarming the others, but not of damping an alarm. Broadband scanning, full cam and bio suites, a watch officer who knows how to interpret the output, independent power sources, of course, and secure lines.
I think you would find my perimeter design adequate. That's pretty much what I've got. Anything else?
Anti-tamper?
Of course.
I didn't see it when we came in.
You weren't supposed to, but it's there. And we also have hull-based systems active. Our shields stink, but at least we'll know what hits us.
I begin to hope you will offer me a partnership, Captain Vada.
I begin to think I might. But we have business to discuss. Perhaps you will return with me to the wreck area?
Of course.
Jim, check with Sarah Vada in my cabin and see if she needs you for anything. Consider yourself at her disposal.
Rafe followed Kai down the passage.
Is that wise?
Jim will do adequately, and Stella has better taste.
She waited to see what he would answer.
She found you, for instance.
A compliment?
Recognition of reality. Don't preen.
I never preen. Well, I suppose I do, but only for cause. So, Captain, what shall we discuss?
Your potential contribution to my mission.
I would have to know what it is, to know what I might be able to contribute.
To survive, first. To assist other Vada ships and family members, like Toby, when found. To discover who our enemy is and why they attacked us. And then to destroy them.
That's a substantial mission for one person, and one, forgive me for being blunt, small, old, and apparently slow ship.
Precisely why I'm seeking allies. I'm not crazy enough to think I can do it all alone. You claim to have expertise relative to ISC's current problems, which I cannot but think are related to ours.
I think you're right on that. When do you think it started?
I know when I hope it didn't start. And that's when I got involved with that attack on the Ansibles at Sabine. I think it possible that the organization, whatever it was, that planned that attack was sufficiently annoyed with my interference that it retaliated against my family.
I can relieve your mind on that. Your actions would be seen as typical of Vata, and Vata had already been perceived as entirely too close to the ruling cliques at ISC. Your high officers, for instance, were close to Lou Parmina.
Yes.
Lou is my father's choice for a corporate heir. He has many enemies inside the corporation and outside as well. He's old line, ISC. Very much in favor of the status quo. The innovators hate him.
Innovators?
Look, Captain, I'll be as honest with you as my other loyalties permit. More honest than I've ever been with Stella. You have my birth name, for instance. ISC has major internal problems. I can't tell you all about them. Some I don't know, and those I know, I must not tell. But I've been warning my father for 3 years that something was going to blow loose. I guessed wrong about where. I thought it would be Alray, not Sabine, and that's why I set up there 2 years ago. I was trying to get some hard data on who and how and when. This secondary attack on the Ansible network, knocking them all out.
Lastway's not out. Did you know that?
I heard that from the crew as we came in. I really want a nice long chat with the local manager, because there's every chance he's one of them.
Because the Ansibles here work?
Precisely. They seem to work, but do they? Are all messages being sent and received correctly? I rather doubt it. The people I suspect of being responsible still need to communicate with each other and would need a network to use, but a network they control. How many systems do you know of your own experience are down?
My own experience? Slaughter Key. A ship coming to Belinta system as we left told me Leonora was down and reported stuffed message bins blocking an automated intermediate station.
Full. That shouldn't happen. Can't happen without sabotage. But it's a very simple way to mess things up. Easy to fix if the repair crews know what's wrong and are doing their job, but then easy to screw up again.
Low cost?
If you're an Ansible platform tech or administrator, yes, but that's where I think the trouble's coming from anyway.
So, you want to check out the local administrator?
Very much. Actually, first I want to check out the Ansibles themselves, the system software. I consider this my highest priority. Partnering you would, at this point, be my second. I realize that no woman likes to come in second, but...
Don't be stupid. I'm not a schoolgirl, even if I don't have gray hair. I understand. You have to consider ISC first. But why would you even want to partner with VADA?
Mobility? More resources? Many of the same reasons you want allies. This is too big for me alone, and I can't, dare not, go straight to HQ. I can't claim a place on any ISC ship without revealing who I am, which would make it impossible to uncover the plots and counterplots. Our merged networks are bigger than either alone.
Rafe looked honest, but then good liars always looked honest. Kai was sure he was hiding things. He even admitted he was hiding things, but not sure if the things he was hiding were harmful to her mission. She was hiding things herself, for that matter. She caught herself wondering what he really looked like with his own hair, with all disguises off, and dragged herself back to the issue at hand.
So, you want to partner with VADA Enterprises Limited, or with me personally, or with me and Stella and Toby, or what?
You're in command now, aren't you? I believe in going to the top. I'd like to partner with you.
Stella's going to be my G2.
Kai wondered if he knew the term.
Good choice. You'll want to have her vet the contract, I'm sure. Shall I write out what I'd like to see, since you don't have an implant?
Go ahead.
Kai called Stella, who arrived with a model contract already drafted. Rafe glanced at it.
This is fine.
When it was signed and recorded, he stood and stretched.
I would rather not run my inquiries from here. Your security may be as good as you paid for, but I don't want any back traces.
You have an idea who it is.
An idea. No data. If the idea's right, then they have the same or better tech than I do.
Better tech than ISC?
Better tech than I've been given. If you could direct me to a bathroom so I can put my face back on?
Down that passage, second left.
Captain, there's a call for you on the bridge.
Coming. All right, Rafe, go find out what you can. If ISC's whole local office is bent...
I didn't say that.
No, but it could be. How long should I wait before rousing the troops?
The troops you don't have? Don't worry, unless I'm not back in a full day cycle.
All right. And where should we look for the body if you're not?
If I knew, I'd be safer. Just don't get in any trouble while I'm gone.
I'll do my best. See you then. Call us from the perimeter. You can ping Stella, right?
Right.
On the bridge, Lee was holding an open contact with an odd expression on his face.
It's a Mackenzie ship. Do you want to talk to them?
I wish I could afford to hire them.
Kai wondered momentarily if the value of Stella's contribution would make that possible. She sat in her command seat and flicked on her screen.
Captain VADA here. Go ahead.
This is Captain Pensig, Mackenzie Military Assistant Ship Gloucester. I understand you are the same Captain VADA who had a contract with Mackenzie at Sabine?
That's right.
We're having a sort of situation has come up, Captain VADA, and the officer commanding our mobile force would like to confer with you.
With me?
Yes, Captain. I'm not sure if you're aware of Mackenzie command structure. The ship crews and the mobile forces are perforce in different branches, as it were.
Are you here because there's a war on?
No, nothing like that. I mean nothing other than whatever's been attacking ISC installations. We're here on what should have been a routine mission, rotating personnel in and out of the local recruiting and consulting station. But something's come up. The Ansible failure, among other things.
I see. And your OIC wants to talk to me? What does he or she think I can do?
I'm not sure. As I said, he's not in my chain of command. In fact, he's fairly junior. But he asked me to contact you, ship to ship. The officer, who would normally be in charge, developed a medical problem and is in cryosuspension. Would you be willing to meet with him?
Certainly, but I'm not leaving my ship at present. Where are you docked?
5 Alpha Blue. I'm sure you'd like to speak to him by comm before meeting in person.
Yes, thank you.
Just a moment, then. I'll have him paged.
Kai wondered why the other officer wasn't standing by, but the vidscreen of the Mackenzie Bridge made it clear he wasn't. His face, when he appeared, looked much younger than she expected.
Captain Vada, this is Lieutenant Mason of the Mackenzie Military Assistance Corporation. He is the ranking combat forces officer presently in the system.
Captain Pensig, I'd like to talk to Captain Vada alone.
A slow flush mounted Captain Pensig's neck, visible on the scan.
Of course, Lieutenant Mason. The comm officer will seal the line.
Pensig stepped back out of vid pickup range, and the margins of the screen flickered, then steadied, as someone walked through the security curtain.
You don't look like I expected.
What did you expect?
Someone taller? Older, maybe.
Kai looked at his face and felt considerably older than he looked.
You had a contract with us, after all.
So the tales told, whatever they were, had not emphasized youth and inexperience. That had to be good for something.
So what did you want, Lieutenant Mason?
I'd like to talk to you. I'm the ranking Mackenzie officer in the system. I've heard of you. We all have. And I have a dilemma that you may be able to help with.
I don't think we have a lot of extra resources, Lieutenant.
I was thinking we might combine resources.
How?
Ma'am, I'd really like to talk to you in person, in a secure location. Could you come aboard our ship?
No, thank you. I prefer to stay on my ship. You could come here.
That would give her time to find out a bit more about Mackenzie on this station.
All right. I'll come right over.
But watch for trouble on the docks.
Ma'am, I don't expect I'll have any trouble. I'll bring a squad.
As soon as she was offline, Kai called Martin to the bridge and told him about the call.
Mercs want to talk to us? That's very interesting. I wonder what kind of problem they think we can help with.
I have no idea, but they'll be here soon, and I'd like you to sit in.
Of course, ma'am.
Less than an hour later, the external scans lived up to their reputation and programming by signaling the arrival of multiple armed individuals in body armor. In the midst of 10 Mackenzie soldiers in non-pressure armor, faceplates closed, was their lieutenant, dwarfed by their imposing presence. Martin met them, gave the lieutenant a nod as crisp as a salute, and led him to the ship entrance. Kai opened the lock and extended the access tube.
Lieutenant Mason, welcome to Dockside Vada.
The lieutenant matched his appearance on the vidcom.
My escort will remain here. May I come aboard?
Yes, of course.
Inside the ship, Kai took him to the rec area and settled him at a table. Martin stood at ease by the hatch to the galley. The lieutenant refused refreshments, sitting bolt upright in his chair, lips pursed tightly.
Well, spit it out. What did you want to talk about?
He glanced at Martin.
That man
is discreet and honest, Lieutenant Mason. That's all you need to know.
To her surprise, Mason flushed red.
Here's the situation, ma'am. The local station director says that the Ansibles here are up and running. But we aren't getting any messages, any at all. We've sent them out, but we don't know if our people are receiving them. Maybe the Ansibles are blocked where they are. We can't leave without orders. We don't know where to go. And we're running out of credit.
Wait a minute. What are you doing here in the first place? Did you have a contract to come here?
No, ma'am. Last Way's a good place to pick up contracts. That's why we have a recruiting station and consulting office here. Out on the edge of settled space like this, things are a bit looser, if you know what I mean. You have arms deals. There's Milmart Exchange. You know about them. The largest purveyor of new and used military heavy weaponry and equipment. When someone is thinking of fighting a war, they often come here to stock up on equipment. You must have gone by our recruiting station.
Yes.
It's also the local consulting office. Whatever people say about Mercs, ma'am, Mackenzie is a quality outfit, platinum, all the way. We don't sell war, we sell expertise to people who otherwise will get themselves in unnecessary wars and cause a lot of damage.
That sounded like something he'd memorized from a brochure. Kai struggled not to glance at Martin and see what he thought of this spiel.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. The old man says the only good war is the one that doesn't happen. That's why we like to take advisement contracts, not combat ones, if we can. And if the war has to come, better be fought by people on payroll, because then the costs are calculable.
How many actions have you been in, Lieutenant?
None yet, ma'am, but I've had 2 years of training, one at the Mackenzie Combat Simulation and Practice Range.
I see. What made you join Mackenzie?
Oh, the usual. Got in trouble. The judge said jail or mail, and I picked mail. I was lucky. Mackenzie made me finish school after I went through boot, and my scores qualified me for their officer training.
Kai thought they should have run him through a war first, but after all, she'd qualified for Slaughter Key's supposedly elite space academy on test scores and school grades. And look how that had turned out.
So you're the ranking officer. Were you commanding here on Lastway Station, or...
No, ma'am. I was the payroll escort officer, coming from our corporate headquarters out to Lastway. Major DeLynn was the OIC in charge here, and Captain Oscone was in charge of troops aboard the two ships. When the Ansibles went out, we were at Teglin Junction. Captain Oscone diverted one of the ships back to HQ to get new orders and put me in charge of the troops as well. Then when I got here, about 2 days later, Major DeLynn suffered an arterial blowout and had to be put in cryo suspension, because there's no medical facility here that can handle that kind of thing. And that left me.
How many do you have in your command?
92, all told, not counting ship crews. It's more than a lieutenant usually has, of course. There's 20 in the recruiting station and consulting office, another 20 in the rotation that was coming in to relieve them. And then the ship's complements of troops. They're not even the same organization, you see.
How many ships do you have here?
Two. There's a courier with the payroll and a sheepdog to guard it. Not one of the big cruisers, of course, but well-armed and capable of handling anything but major ships of the line. The other ship was much the same, the one the captain took back to HQ.
So what do you think I can do to help you?
I was thinking you could hire us. I mean, we hear that someone's attacking Vada ships and people and things. We could protect you. Then you, Vada, I mean, would be guarantors for our support on station.
Much as she'd wanted to hire Mackenzie, this young man did not inspire confidence.
Are you... Forgive me for asking an awkward question, but are you entitled to make contractual agreements on Mackenzie's behalf?
Master Sergeant Dolan says I am. I mean, it's in the regulations. The ranking officer may make binding contracts provided that such contracts are in the best interests of Mackenzie.
And how many personnel and ship crews?
That probably explained why they were running short of cash, even if they'd brought the payroll. Kai wondered how big it was. She had no idea what it cost to support a military unit in idleness, a topic not covered in the Slaughter Key Space Academy.
15 in the courier, and probably 100 in the other. Why? They aren't my problem.
They were his problem, and he was a very stupid junior officer if he couldn't see it.
Oh, what sort of contract were you thinking of?
Like I said, we could protect you. You were attacked, right?
Yes, but as you can see, I'm fine.
But if you had guards, it wouldn't have happened, and you were nearly killed, they said.
Who?
The Garda. The Garda have an arrangement with Mackenzie, long-standing understanding.
I see. So you know what they know?
Some, anyway. Master Sergeant Dolan does.
Kai felt a strong desire to talk to Master Sergeant Dolan instead of Lieutenant Mason, but she was sure Dolan couldn't negotiate contracts.
So, can we make a deal?
Patience, Lieutenant. I have to assess my needs, and you have to tell me what your rates are. Whatever you've heard, merchanters aren't made of money, and we don't have unlimited funds. Aren't you people usually hired by whole planets?
Yes, but you're not getting an entire expeditionary force. You're just getting us.
Suppose you present a formal proposal, Lieutenant, with estimates of the cost to us, and I'll go over it with my financial officer and see if we can come to an agreement. I have no objection in principle to hiring Mackenzie for a job of work, but I'm not going to give verbal agreement to an open-ended contract with no details specified. Well, surely you have a good clerk NCO who can draw up a sample.
Oh, of course. Yes, ma'am, I do. Perhaps Master Sergeant Roth? He'd know. Can he, just ping your implant?
I don't have an implant. Why not have Roth work something up, get your approval on it, and bring it over to discuss?
Yes, ma'am. I can do that.
He seemed much cheerier with a definite plan in mind, but then most people were. Kai would be much happier when she had a definite plan in mind.
Can we do this, soon?
Just how short of funds are you, Lieutenant?
Mason reddened, and for a moment, Kai thought he was going to cry.
They just cut us off short, like that. And I know the ship captains have been after me to do something, but what could I do? I was trying to do the captain's work and the major's work, and I didn't know where anything was, and Dolan and Roth kept looking at me like I was a 5-year-old, and finally Dolan said, "Why not ask you?" Actually, he said that 2 days ago, but I thought maybe if I just talked to the bank... We've always had a good credit rating, and maybe a message would come through from home.
Twit. I asked how short you are. Are your people going to have food for the next meal, for instance?
Maybe.
Kai rolled mental eyes and equally mental dice and came to a decision she wasn't ready to share yet.
Send me your Master Sergeant Roth. Do it quickly.
Yes, ma'am. And can I say anything to the troops?
Idiot. No, not now. Get Roth over here.
I'll call him from dockside.
She sent him away, looking much happier, and looked at Martin.
He must have gotten picked up for stealing candy from babies. He doesn't have enough gumption for anything else.
Is he really that bad? I kept wanting to smack him, but...
Not officer material. Not in my books. Mercs may have different standards.
Slaughter Key has no dim-witted officers?
Well, no. Well, I mean, yes, they do. A few. I suppose he might have slipped by for some other reason.
So what do you think about his proposal?
If they're messed up enough that they're about to give the troops nail soup, they may not be any help.
They were better at Sabine.
I'll keep that in mind. Maybe it's just the one young fool.
Kai called for Stella.
You're looking lively. What's going on with those soldiers on the dock? Did the station finally come to its senses and give us official guard?
No, that's Mackensee Military Assistance Corporation. The people I contracted with at Sabine after they invaded the system, and the people whose surgeons extracted my implant.
The ones who nearly killed you.
That was my own crewman. I don't blame Mackensee for that. Though I wish I knew how much data they pulled from my implant. It was only the Vada Basic, not the full data set, but still. Anyway, through a series of mishaps, their local leadership is down to one very junior lieutenant, who was supposed to escort their payroll here, and is now in command. And overwhelmed and underfunded.
He has the payroll.
But the banks have shut them down on credit, and the payroll intended for 20 doesn't last long when you're trying to support almost 100. He wants us to contract with them for protection so that we can feed his hungry men and women.
Protection?
Thing is, Stella, I thought about trying to work something with Mackensee before. They have the expertise, the weapons, the trained personnel. We could use them.
Can we afford them?
Exactly what I need to know. Stella, I'm assigning you as financial officer as well as G2. You know what you brought into this. I'll tell you what we've got.
Stella called up the figures from the trading they'd done and the remains of Aunt Gracie's fruitcake diamonds.
We need to provision this ship and decide what upgrades we can afford with and without hiring the Mackensee Group. I'll be talking to one of their senior NCOs shortly, someone with more sense than that lieutenant. Give me some numbers.
Right. I can do that. 15 minutes. You had the list of upgrades already loaded, right?
Right.
Rafe came back before Master Sergeant Roth arrived.
Did you know the dockside area is full of big, noisy, obvious soldiers?
Yes, of course.
I hope you don't think they're better protection. They didn't notice me coming until I was close enough to lob any sort of weapon.
I wasn't counting on them for protection from sneaks. And I'd told them you were coming. What did you find out?
The local ISC rep is crooked as a corkscrew. The Ansible is open all right, to him and whoever he's in contact with, but he's blocking all incoming and outgoing messages at will. He's got a probe into what are supposed to be unbreakable automatic systems. I can't tell yet if the next jump point Ansible's from here are really down, or if he's programmed this one to think they're down. That would take me several days. There are at least 5 in the deal on this end, though. The director, all 3 technical heads, 1 per shift, and a weasel in the records section. That one tried to convince me faked records were real, and of course I believed him, to his face.
Won't they suspect something if you're trying to bribe the records weasel?
How do you know? Well, yes. They'll know I want information. From the look on his face, he's been taking bribes from everyone on station who wants to know what's going on. The shoes he's wearing, the jewelry, he's rolling in more money than someone at his level has any business making. But with everyone asking, one more asking is just another source of money. He doesn't suspect who or what I am. Aren't you going to tell me about the soldiers?
There's nothing to tell yet. When there is something to tell you, then I will.
You are entirely too cautious, Captain Vada. I must admire that caution, inconvenient as it is for me. Where is the fair Stella?
Busy. And your next project is?
Something I'm afraid you can't help with. I would give my left arm, or at least a couple of fingers, to get a hold of a bit of technology no one is supposed to have yet. Ever hear of a pin, Ansible?
As a matter of fact, yes. But I don't have one.
Where did you hear of it?
Never mind that. What's it good for?
An Ansible you can mount on a ship. And more important, an Ansible that allows real-time communications while you're in FTL flight.
Kai stuffed her first thought, "That's impossible," back in her mouth.
That would be quite an improvement in communications. Just having a shipboard Ansible would be an advance.
Yes. And those do exist. The full capability ones, those you can use in FTL flight, were in development the last I heard. But I suspect they now exist.
So why isn't ISC bragging about it and selling them for vastly inflated prices?
Come, Captain. You have more business sense than that, I hope. ISC derives its revenues from per-message charges through the current Ansible system. We don't sell Ansibles ever.
Yes, but this is something that would make a bundle.
Comparatively? We would have to price it very high indeed, and we would be subject to competition, I've no doubt.
Yes. So you're saying that there is a strong motive for ISC to freeze technological development that would risk its monopoly?
I would never say that, Captain, because that would be revealing company secrets. Should you come to that conclusion on your own, I can't stop you.
I'm glad we're temporarily on the same side.
The thing is, if I had a pin Ansible now, I could easily find out whether the more distant transfer lines are really blocked or software clogged. As it is, I have to risk tapping into the station director's control lines, and if he's at all suspicious, he'll realize someone's snooping.
Captain, can we find a time to talk?
Yes, of course.
I'm concerned about something.
Now or a couple of hours? I'm expecting a visitor I really need to see.
Couple of hours is fine.